than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. What a game that was, huh? Wow, that was something else. I don't know if you really want to call it a game. I don't know if you want to call it JV football. I don't know. It's even like, you know, Friday Night Lights, Dillon Panthers weren't that bad. East Dillon Lions even that bad. But joining me as always to talk us through what the heck happened, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Oh, Brandon. Boy, was this game a mess, man, from the get-go. And it started off well. I mean, the Jaguars kicked it off out of bounds, and we got the ball in the 40. I'm looking around. Everybody's laughing and high-fiving. I'm like, this is going to be a great start. And then they give it to Mike Wallace as a gift because, you know, he wanted to get an offense, right?
He wanted the rock, right?
Yeah, he wanted the rock, so we got the rock. He ran with the rock 5 yards, okay, second and five. The team looks great. And from there, it's like they were still partying at the Purple Pub rallies on Saturday night because this team just – they looked – lethargic, flat, broken. I don't even have any words for what the play. Dude, the most lopsided loss in Ravens history. There's some Ravens games that I've seen before that we look bad. This is up there in the top three.
This is probably the worst performance. I mean, statistically, it is the worst performance in the Harbaugh era. Anyway, like, this was a horrible game. And friends were texting me because, you know, we were all up early in the morning. And it started off, and I was like, man, this is, you know, they're jet lagged or, you know, they're not used to the time change. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And then the field didn't look that great. Everybody was slipping around. So I'm like, all right, benefit of the doubt. And then the day kept going on and on and on, and no one improved. Who is this team? Because this is not the team we saw in the first 2 weeks. They were not the greatest teams we were up against in the first 2 weeks. So are the Ravens just not that good this year?
It seems to be that way based on this game. And it's totally night and day, man. It's frustrating because it's not like this team played like this the first 2 weeks. I mean, they were sharp, crisp, you know, 10 turnovers, you know, let up 5 points a game, you know, with zero shutout in the first one, 10 points in the second one. And then they just let up a 44-point outburst in this one. And it was just like, it's kind of just very comical. And humor me here for a second, Brandon. I saw a post this week after the game, and it said, because the game was over across the pond, and it said, somewhere in those stands, there's probably a little kid who got to see his first NFL game, and he now knows that Blake Bortles is probably the best NFL quarterback. I mean, it's like, and it's funny. If you take a casual fan that was probably going to the game, and you saw the teams, and go, which quarterback was Super Bowl MVP? The way he was playing, it sure wasn't Flacco. So you just have that laugh in spite of the loss. But I did not see this coming. No one did, obviously. But, I mean, if anybody predicted a loss, it could have been like a last-second field goal. But Brandon, in hindsight, man, and we'll break it down, but in any bright spot, I'm just going to level you with this. If we're going to get beat, and I've always said this before, I'd rather get beat like this so there's no excuses. I would hate to lose like the way the Giants did to go 0-3. I would hate to lose on a last-second field goal. Like you come all the way back, and then, oh, we've been there, man. How many times have we had some close games to where – you know, the Ravens clawed all the way back and couldn't do it. What if they'd have lost when we were down 20 to the Browns last year? What if they didn't win that game? It's almost like you did all that work for nothing. So it's like, hey, if you're going to get beat like that so you can just turn a page, man. But, dude, it's absolute mauling. The Ravens couldn't do anything right. Run routes, ball didn't bounce the right way. There was a deflection interception. We had 3 turnovers. We looked like one of the worst teams in the league, and in the first 2 weeks, we were tops in the NFL. We were one of the best, and I really thought I was confident coming home at 3-0 facing the Steelers, but It wasn't the case, man. On Sunday, dude, it was absolutely horrid. And even Harbaugh said he and I feel bad for all the fans and who made the trip for the game, you know. And that's something. And Harbaugh even said, he goes, I feel bad that we give them a performance, and that's every game. I mean, you know, when you pay for the home tickets and all that, you want to go there. You want to get the team's best effort, and you know, you always want that. And it just sucks. And I've heard a lot of good things and a lot of positive vibes from the fans who are saying like how they didn't let the game dampen the trip. I mean, they were in London, for goodness sake, man. You got to see the tower, the bridge, the rivers, the scenery, Stonehenge. I mean, think about all that stuff over there and the landmarks and the sights and sounds, and you're going to let a football game ruin your trip. I know if me and you made a trip, yeah, the game sucked, but we wouldn't let it ruin our trip. I don't know about you personally, but my friend, but it wouldn't me, because I'm like, dude, we're in London. At the end of the day, it was a great trip, and that's the way some fans looked at it, and then some fans didn't. They were like, man, this team's got some work to do.
What do you think that plane ride home for the Ravens was like? Because, like you said, there's really, you know, you can put it on one person. It's really a team, and not just team, but a coaching staff problem. It is a player problem. It is all around. So, like, if you're Harbaugh and it's your team, you got to talk to for what the next. I don't even know how long the flight is for the next couple hours. Like, how are you going, guys? Put it behind you. Let's focus on the Steelers, because that was, I mean, it's one thing to lose in that fashion, but to do it on one of the premier games of the league where there's no other games for people to turn you off and put someone else on. It is this or no football, and you lose that way. I mean, that, I know they're saying we've moved on to the next one, but still, that has to resonate with you. I know, like, I wouldn't be able to let it go, because I would just be like, God, that was just embarrassing. I mean, 44-7, and for Flacco not even to have that 7 points, I mean, that would stick with me. I would remember that throughout the entire season.
The time has come where we saw Mallett outplay Flacco. Literally. No, I did not expect it. And it was great to see that we didn't get the shutout, obviously. And, you know, just for fun sake, the lone Raven who did score benefited me personally, because I had Ben Watson on my fantasy, and he was the lone Raven that did score, which is great. But not so good for people who had Justin Tucker with 1 point, yep, with the extra point on their team. It was just a bad output all around. I mean, the team just didn't look energized. And here's the thing, man. Both teams made the trip, and someone brought it to my attention that, was it the Jaguars had sort of advantage because they'd done this trip 4 times in a row? They knew the itinerary.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
What's that? Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was someone even brought it to my attention again, like how that may affect it. And I said, I don't think so, really, because the same teams had to make the same trip, no matter where you break it down. I don't think it has an advantage one way or another, because the Jaguars, I felt like they just came to play. The Jaguars looked as energized as Ravens did at the home opener against the Browns. They came out firing. They did everything right. Crisp routes, you know, catching the ball, you know, moving the chains first down. And the Ravens looked like every other opponent we played. You know, it was like, couldn't do anything. You make them one-dimensional. Can't run the ball. So you got to throw it. And then we just looked anemic, man. I can throw any adjective in there to describe this team this weekend. It was horrible, man. It was one of those games where it was like, at halftime, it was just, I just kept laughing. Like, really? It's just, I looked at the score, and I had hope. I had hope when it was like 13-0, and then it was 20, and I'm like, dude, all we need is one score. I mean, we were down 20-0 to Browns. I mean, and again, I will say this with full honesty, we're not the Patriots, but hey, the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Anything's possible. We came back on the Browns down 20-0 last year. Anything's possible. So I, at that point, I was kind of like, look, Ravens get their momentum going. They can get stopped on defense, get a score. I was hopeful at that point, but then it just got worse and worse as the game progressed.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Joe Flacco. That was Joe Flacco's worst game ever. I mean, let's absolutely a terrible performance. Now I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm going to call it a benching. His benching, is that, in your opinion, is that due to how terrible he was playing, or was it more of, oh, we got the Steelers and the rest of the season coming up, let's not risk injury, we're losing this one anyway? Because, I mean, for him not to play that well, or could it be the third option, we're losing anyway, Ryan Mallett's never going to get a chance to play in Wembley Stadium again, let's just give him a shot? What do you think? What of those three options is it? Is it a combination of all three? Is it one, not the other? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it, for flavor's sake, I like the last one. Hey, you know, we're never going to get a chance to go there again. Might as well, you know, make the most of it and have Ryan in there. But I'm going to say the coach speak answer and say it was injury, because when you're up that, because I can see it now. What if we're losing 44-0 in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left? Or I can't remember what time he entered, and that where Flacco exited and Mallett entered. But let's just say, okay, the next play, Flacco gets slammed to the turf or gets cracked in the back, and then he's hurt. He's gone for a few weeks, and then now all the fans are clamoring, "Hey, Harbaugh, why did you leave him in?" So I can see it. And Harbaugh's always said that, you know, it's a genius if it works. It's not if it doesn't. But I felt like it was like, hey, we're losing so bad. And you've seen it before when we were winning. I think it happened when we were beating, me and you were there when we beat the Raiders to a pulp at 55-10 or something like that. And players, we see it all across the NFL. When there's blowouts, especially on a winning side, players will start sitting because it's like, you know, it happens. It happens in the NBA when in last year's playoffs when the Cavaliers were playing the Celtics and the Cavaliers were up by 40 points at halftime. So by the fourth quarter, all the Cavaliers starters were sitting, you know, because it's a, hey, we're up 55 points. Why even risk it? Let's rest them. It was more a strategic move to rest Flacco, saying, dude, enough's enough. We can't win this. Let's just give, you know, everybody else a chance at this point playing time. It was more like the resting injury. It's easy to say because he sucked, because he really did, but it's not a quarterback controversy because he sucked. I mean, everybody's bad games. There was games where Peyton Manning threw 6 interceptions in one game. You didn't see him benched for the next game or not start. There was no quarterback controversy again. No, we're comparing Joe Flacco to Peyton Manning. No, I'm not. I'm just saying everybody has their game. The Steelers lost this weekend, which is great, you know, and we'll get to that, obviously, moving on to the Purple Friday preview and everything. And it is Steelers week. You can't get lost in that. And I know we got trounced, but, you know, the other teams, you know, the Patriots barely lost. I mean, there's other teams in the NFL that looked as, you know, played, you know, poorly or also good, and it benefited them or not. So, but the Ravens, they just didn't do anything right. So it's, you can't really hear and say it was just the defense that gave up the yards like it was on Christmas night against the Steelers last year, because the offense gave us points. It was a total 53-man roster effort here. This was, the special teams couldn't get it done. Offense didn't get it done. Defense didn't get it done. This was a team loss, which is every time. But this one, you can't really pin it on a ref call, a blown call. We didn't run it on third down. We should have passed it, or vice versa. We can't really point the blame elsewhere, but this was just horrid.
It was, and there were two big pieces missing in this game, and that is Brandon Williams and Marshall Yanda. Now,
do you think those two players were a 44-point difference, though?
You see, that's what I was going to ask you personally.
Aha, see?
Personally,
I saw your notes.
Personally, I don't think that due to those two guys missing made this team lose by that amount, but I also don't think it helped that they were missing either. There was one play where Michael Pierce, who we praised the last couple shows, he got manhandled by a dude half his size. If you look at one of the highlights, and I forget... I apologize. I'm not 100% sure what play it was, but the Jaguars quarterback still had the ball. He was going for a pass. He passes it to just a short pass, and Michael Pierce just gets pushed down. Like he is, he's a tiny little guy. Like he is right. Terrence West size. And for a guy like that, I'm like, what just happened? Like you just lost a fight with a guy half your size. So I was very comfortable with Carl Davis and Michael Pierce taking Brandon Williams' spot for a little bit. But man, this opens up a whole new can of worms if Brandon Williams is out again coming up this Sunday. Of course, Yanda's out for the year. Brandon Williams will hopefully be back soon. But I think with them in, it could have been a little less of a comedy act on Sunday, and it could have been maybe, you know, 24-7 instead of 44-7. But what was the impact, in your opinion, of them not being there?
I don't know if it was a 44-point difference, because at the end of the day, our players started to make plays, and they had the opportunities to do so. But as far as the run defense, I'm going to start with Brandon Williams. The dude, this is why we signed him to that contract, and you've seen it. We could not stop Fournette up the middle. He was getting us at 6-7 yards a clip at some drives. It was horrible. It'd be first down, he'd run up the gut, and it'd be 2nd and 3. Instead of, like, we stuff the run for 1 to 2 yards, and then they throw the complete pass, and it's third long, and then we get him off the field on 4th down. No, it was they were just getting it. They were gashing the run, and then what happens is, and the Ravens, especially with letting Mercedes Lewis run Buck Wiley, he looked like Gronk out there, which was nuts, man. I think he had 3 touchdowns, believe it or not. Looking at it, the Ravens, because of the run, they had to stop Fournette more so because Brandon wasn't there. So there were some plays, I don't know if you saw it, Fournette went to run and they do a play action and they would freeze and then it would be a play action and Bortles go back to pass and the guys are wide open. It was on that one touchdown. I can't remember what point of the game it was. It was the one where he faked a run and Bortles went back to pass and just like lofted it. And it was like a 25 or 30-yard touchdown. Mercedes Lewis wide open in the secondary because everybody came forward and bit because they thought they were running the ball. So when you have key players like that, and I said it last week, Brandon Williams, when you have big guys up on the line, it allows the linebackers to run freely. When you have a guy like that, it means everybody's play has to change and everybody's assignment changes. So at that point, it changes the scheme of the defense. And everybody has to shift or everybody's got to overcompensate for a big player like Williams in the middle. So it sucks. And if he's not there for next Sunday, and we know what this Sunday needs to be, and it's going to be all-out war, and we know what's on the line and at stake here this early in the season, he better play, man. I mean, it sucks that these injuries are just – they're at the forefront, man. And I saw some activity on Twitter this week, and everybody's like, well, what about the injuries? They're going to smash the IR record that happened in 2015. Dude, I mean, and here's another one. Brent Urban, man. He's out with the Lisfranc injury. It's just – that's an injury that it's just hard to just swallow sometimes, man, because it's like no matter what. But and I want to give a shout out to our listener out in Arizona, John Dugan. He goes back with Jeff Zerebic of the Baltimore Sun. He had a great exchange, Brandon. Did you see it on Twitter, the exchange there with Jeff Zerebic and John?
I didn't.
No, he basically was going back about the injuries because of with what happened with Urban, and he and I wanted to break that down. Jeff was very big because he was asking, like, was it just the Ravens? And Jeff's like, no, it happens all across the NFL. It just seems like it's just the Ravens because obviously we love our team and we focus on that. And it's like, oh no, the Raven hurt, but it happened in the Eagles game. Darren Sproles broke his arm and tore his, I think, ACL in the same play. 2 major injuries in the same play. So that's unheard of. So, and you see it all across the board. I mean, you see it on preseason. Edelman was out. Beckham came back finally after his injury and had a great game. So, I mean, it's not just us, but it's NFL as a whole. And John went more to say, was it the conditioning? Was it the – and we've said this in the offseason and preseason even. We've had this discussion here on the call. Is it the collective bargaining agreement? Is it their practices? Is it their conditioning? Something's got to give, but, man, injury after injury – might as well be running a hospital on Russell Street in Baltimore instead of a football team. I tell you that. It's just getting ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I mean, Brent makes the 16th guy on IR right now. He's on long-term injury reserve. He's not ruled out for the year, but he's going to be out a good chunk of the season. So hopefully, if there is January football, Brent Urban can be a part of it. We'll talk about his replacements in the Purple Friday preview and how they will impact the play against the Steelers coming up on Friday. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes and all those other places to hear us talk about them. Now let's talk about the one bright spot of this London game, and that is Alex Collins. Once again, this guy is doing well. He's turning a lot of heads here in Baltimore. A lot of buzz around him. Let me ask you, Alex Collins, did he just take a spot from Buck Allen and Terrence West with the performance he had this past Sunday?
He just might, man. I'm telling you what, I've been impressed with this guy singing his praises since he's entered. I love it, man. He's a hard-nosed runner. He gets in there, he takes none, and he gives none. He's just in there being a scrappy player. We love it. That's that tenacity, playing like a Raven, man. And I feel he's got nothing to lose. And he's got everything to gain, man. You know, maybe he can get noticed, getting a starting job, a huge contract. But the guy just hits the hole and runs, man. And he's just – it's a great breath of fresh air. And we've broken this down, the 2- and 3-headed monster backs in the backfield. I feel like more and more time, and Harbaugh's even said, the guys who show they can get more playing time will get it. I feel like he's going to be a feature back here before the season is over this year. And I feel like – as far as taking over a starting job from Terrence West, it's going to take a lot of work to do that. But I feel like he can overtake a second position over an Allen, maybe. But West right now still has the lock on the starting position. I just feel, you know, a healthy West is the best way to go right now because we don't know what Collins can bring. But Collins, for a good 1-2 punch, I'd like to see a West Collins pack maybe have Allen in for the passing situations, because I don't right now trust Alex's hands for passing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, more so West stick to running, but I feel like Buck Allen could be that passing back, because it's kind of like this, man. If you look down at Atlanta, Atlanta's got two great backs, Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Kind of similar, they split touches, but a lot of times you see Coleman in there for the passing plays. Freeman's in there more so than not, but you see that switch off. And the Patriots do the same thing with their running backs. They go through Burkhead and White and Lewis, respectively. You see all that. So I feel like the Ravens could use their players to their advantage that way, but I really like to see Collins get some due, man. The guy's awesome.
Yeah, obviously, he's got to get a little bit more playing time with the performances he's had the past 2 weeks. He's definitely been, I mean, he was literally the only good thing about this game in London this past Sunday. So before we get out of here, last little bit of Ravens news that happened outside the game is that the Ravens actually restructured two contracts over the weekend, Tony Jefferson and Justin Tucker. They're the third and fourth times that the Ravens have restructured contracts since August. And it seems that Jefferson and Tucker have reduced their salaries down to $775,000, creating an additional $2.6 million in cap space. Obviously, I have to say that is injury concern. And they're asking players to restructure to get more cap space because I think the Ravens know they're going to have to sign a couple more players by the end of this year with the way this injury bug is affecting them yet again.
Yeah, and it's great that players are willing to do that. You know, I don't see the harm in that as well, because you kind of have to move the money. The NFL is a crazy business, and being in the front lines of the front office there, it's really interesting to see how these numbers work out, man. And it's, you know, you're always constantly doing the books and making sure the balance sheets balance out, and it's a great side of the business to really get involved in. I would like to see how it really works and dive into more of that. But you're right, man. You know, 2.6 plus in free space. With all these injuries, I think, you know, everybody's like, are they going to sign a free agent or anything or make a move? It remains to be seen, but I wouldn't be surprised. And you always want to have a little bit of wiggle room in case something happens of that nature, or a major shakeup happens, or a trade. So I feel like they're doing the right thing, getting it done. They've been more active so this year than recent years past of getting the contracts restructured, which is great. So it means they're constantly looking at that and doing it what's best for the team as far as financially. I like that.
All right, Josh, for this Red Eye review, have we covered everything?
Before I do give the quote, the Raven Never More Sound, I wanted to go over some AFC North tidbits and news and notes, man. Do you realize that this Sunday, all four AFC North teams lost?
Really?
Yep. Browns lost. We lost, obviously. And the Bears helped us out tremendously. How about that? The Steelers lost, and it means we're both 2-1 facing off on Sunday.
Yeah, you were saying both teams 3-0, that's what you were predicting last week. And now, I mean, not even though each has a loss, not a lot has changed to what this game means.
No, and it's a week-to-week league. I've said that to people. I mean, like you said, you know, and then, you know, where Suggs, where was the defense, where was everything? I mean, we already knew the offense lost a fine identity, but this defense wasn't the same. But I feel like it's a week-to-week league, because apart from Brandon Williams and losing Urban, it's still the same defense. I mean, yeah, is one player a 44-point swing on defense letting up 44 points? Absolutely not, but you still have to make plays. There's other players out there. Brandon Williams isn't the whole defense. Now, but in the same respect, the way that the landscape has changed for the AFC, I mean, the Raiders lost to the Redskins on Sunday night, so the Raiders aren't high and mighty. They looked anemic. The Patriots were seconds away from losing their second in a row at home. And I'm telling you what, the AFC, the Texans look legit, man. That Monday night game later this year might be a good one for the billing, man. Deshaun Watson has proved he's this year's transcendence of Dak Prescott. Again, number four mobile quarterback, getting it done down there in Houston. Great to see. But Tom Brady, dude, 5 touchdowns, led a game-winning drive, just cements his status, man. I mean, you can hate him, love him if you want, but the dude, just what he does, man. I mean, just, you can't count the Patriots out. It's like the Steelers. You give them or the Steelers any time, even 10 seconds on the clock, you already know they're probably going to go down the field and win it no matter what. But the surprise of the weekend, dude, and I'm going to just show you how this. My favorite phrase, the Bengals know how to bungle. And, dude, the Bengals were up 21-7 on the Packers in Lambeau Field, which we go later this year, in Lambeau. 21-7 and lose in overtime. The Bengals are just atrocious, dude. And both the Bengals and the Browns, I'm actually looking it up as we speak because I think it is the Owen Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Both of those teams are 0-3. Ravens Steelers are 2-1. So the landscape of the AFC North has changed, and it's a week-to-week league, I've always said. And I feel like with what's at stake with the AFC North and the AFC, if the Ravens can get out of their own way again, maybe we can find a formula here that can get us up to the upper ranks of the AFC, because got to keep pace with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are killing it. You know, we've seen that happen. But I've heard, and it gave me a perspective to get to watch the games because the Ravens played so good. Or not say Ravens played so good, but the Ravens have played it to where they set themselves up at 2-1. You know, because they played so good in their first two games there and kind of set the tone. If they can start getting those wins, if you look at a 10-11 win season, they already have two. You have to keep the momentum going. And I feel like if they can sit there and keep the momentum going, if they can go 1-1 in the next two games, or if they can go 2-1 and set the tone, who knows? But the Bears, they helped us out, should have won a regular season. But what I was getting back to is, apart from watching the game early, it got me a chance to get to watch the 1 o'clock slate, which was great. Had a lot of high flying action, but there's no real team that's scary right now. So I feel like if the Ravens can take and learn from this and start making plays, sky's the limit, man. I really feel like they can get back to their winning formula and get back. And what better way to do it against a foe that we know very well at home, against the Steelers, man, in an AFC North clash with first place on the line this early in week four. It's great. You know, turning the calendar October 1st this weekend. I can't think of any better way to start it off. But I'm just happy that the Ravens came back, and they're going to learn from this. And it just, you know, and Harbaugh even said it, this is probably their only last trip across the pond. I really feel like when he said that, I really feel like the trip did get to the team. I felt like it was a lot for them. And a lot of people thought they left late. I think they left late Thursday and arrived early Friday, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know the time difference. I think it was like 5 or 6 hours, but I felt like I did feel like the team should have left earlier in the week.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Raven fans left Baltimore on Monday for this trip, and the Ravens didn't leave until Thursday night. That's a quick turnaround to get used to that time change.
It is. It's a very quick turnaround. And to confirm, it is the Owen Bowl on Sunday. The Browns and the Bengals do play each other, so we do have the Owen Bowl. So AFC North teams are locking up again Sunday. So we're going to have a first-place team front runner, and we're going to have somebody 0-4, and we're going to have a shakeup at 2-2 and 1-3. So it's going to be – that's how the AFC North is going to look. Which teams are going to be there this weekend, we will find out as the dust settles come Sunday evening. But we have the Owen Bowl in Ohio, Ravens Steelers in Baltimore. It's going to be fun, man. And on that note, quote the Raven, nevermore. Let's start Steeler Week, shall we?
All right, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Make sure you go follow Josh and I on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash, and Josh is at ItalianGQ52. Go over to our Facebook page and like us over on Facebook. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show and write an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. All right, with that being said, make sure you join us on Friday for a Purple Friday preview. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. And guys, man, it was atrocious. It was ugly. Still hope you guys are around, man. It's just, it was exhausting. The good thing about it is it's one game, like Harbaugh was stating in the team. One game doesn't define a season. You know, it can at the end of the year, whether it's playoffs or whether it's when to get in. But right now, this early, we're not going to go 16-0. So let's get that out of the way. Now, I feel like this is a loss. They can take on the chin, learn from it. I'd rather get out early now, and I'd rather get beat by the Jaguars like that and then go and win against the Steelers than beat the Browns or beat the Jaguars, whoever it may be, early in the year, and then the Steelers come in and beat us 50-7 in our house. No, I'd rather – you know, get it out of the way. Let's learn from it. Let's wash our hands of it. No excuses. You know, we all play bad, and you got to go out and put their best effort forward. And whatever the effort was on Sunday, it definitely wasn't our boys. It definitely wasn't Ravens football. They need to get it up quick, because Steelers are coming to town. They lost too, and we know it's at stake. First place is on the line very early. Better lick the wounds. Better rest up. Get the troops ready, because it's going to be a flu-out war. Ravens Steelers number one installment this year. Come Sunday, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.